Why does the Quran elevate Imam Hussein in Surah Fajr? And this is the ultimate success of Imam Hussein, when the Quran itself says, "Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan marziya." Return back to your Lord, where not only are you happy with Allah, but Allah in turn is happy with you as well. You look at anybody who's achieved anything in the eyes of Allah, it's all been through struggle. We live in a society that equates ease to value. Meaning what? If it's easy, it must be good for you. If it's difficult, run away from it. But the deen of Islam says, wait a second, our equation is something else. Our equation is struggle equals success. This dunya, this world was meant to do what? To test all of you. A man comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen with a very beautiful, this is such a beautiful tradition. He comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, begins to complain about his state. He says, you know, I'm struggling with my finances, Amir al-Mu'mineen, my household isn't under control, my health isn't the best, this dunya is drowning me. Complaint after complaint, Amir al-Mu'mineen listens, and after he's done, he says to this man, then inshallah, I'll pray for you. And the man leaves. They say this man came back to Amir al-Mu'mineen 1 week later, came back to Imam Ali 1 week later and said, Mawla, my state from last week has gotten worse this week. And now the hadith says Imam Ali became a little bit annoyed. He says to him, look, you are looking from this dunya what it can't give you. Instead of you searching for a stress-free, hassle-free, hardship-free, problem-free life, ask Allah that while you're going through that hardship, that my iman doesn't suffer. That's the dua that I want from you. That's when our iman gets tested. We begin now, words of shirk and kufr come out of our mouth. That how dare you, God, take my father away from me? How dare you, God, give my mother cancer? How could you do this to me? How could you break off my engagement? How could you make my child this? I've done nothing but serve you and worship you and do khidmah of you. And you return the favor by doing this? Words of kufr, words of shirk. You don't mean them, obviously, but that pool began to wave and that dirt comes to the front. Hassle-free is not the solution. Keeping our iman strong during that hassle is the solution. Point number two, at a very young age, how we introduce Allah to these children is vital. It's vital. We use Allah as a component of fear to get the job done. If you don't pray salat, Allah will punish you. If you don't clean your room, Allah will punish you. If you don't go to school, Allah will punish you. Do you want Allah to hate you? Do you not know that if you don't pray salat, you're gonna burn in hell? That's all we hear. Allah hate, Allah fire, Allah punishment, Allah this, Allah that. We're like, whoa. And then at 17, 18, what do we say? We're like, you know what? Serve Allah, love Allah, worship Allah. Wait a second. Maybe you could say that, you know what? Not that Allah will punish you if you don't clean your room, but rather Allah loves those who cleans their room. Or if one hair is peeking out of your hijab, that one hair will be the reason why you'll burn for eternity in the hellfire. Instead of saying that, why don't you say that Allah loves those who presents themselves in a pure and beautiful way during salat? A young girl with a lot of courage says to me that, Malana, excuse me, I have a question. Is it okay if you don't want the imam to come? I said, why? She said, you know what? Because I don't like the sight of blood. So as long as he's in ghaibat, it's better for us. This is what we've done to our kids. Really? You think actually that the imam will come and start chopping off heads? The imam's mission will mirror the Holy Prophet's mission. Those of you who know history, who have read history, you know the first war in Islam did not happen until 15 years after the announcement of his prophethood. The sword was not needed. until 15 years. Why? Because the Prophet of Allah spoke to the hearts of the people. And they went running to him. Why? Amongst the darkness, he lit that candle of nur. And they came towards him. When the Prophet of Allah came, it was وَهُمْ كَانَ مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ذَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. It was utter and complete darkness. He came, he provided that nur and that candle. Where he went, people followed. The imam that you and I are dying to come back to is that same imam that will come and light that candle amongst the darkness. There's no swords, there's no bloodshed, there's no zulfiqar. Yes, you'll defend yourself, absolutely. But blood to your knees? No. There'll be nur Allah Nur, there'll be hidayat upon hidayat. Those of you who are dying for a solution, an answer, a light, the Imam will come and provide that light for you, inshallah. So let's be careful, let's reintroduce God inside of us. God is not those who wishes to punish you. He says in the Quran, what will I gain? What will I gain out of punishing you? What will I gain? What do you think I'll gain? You think I created you to punish you? All I need from you is an excuse to sprinkle my mercy on you. He's forgiven us so many times. And all of you know your own lives. You know what's in your closet. You know what you've done. You know the fact that even after all of what you've done, Allah still has allowed you to have some respect in this world. That is a sign of His forgiveness. After all of that, we still are not ready to serve His cause. We still believe that God will punish me. Yeah, but Sayyid, you have no idea what kind of life I live. You're right. I don't know what kind of life you live. I don't know what kind of sins you've done. I don't know how horrible, how great you are. I know nothing about you. What I do know is about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment that we've convinced ourselves that my sin is greater than the power of mercy of my Lord, we've disrespected that same Lord. Because he says that what? What is the one sin that is not forgivable? Shirk. As long as you are saying La ilaha illallah, anything you do is not bigger than my mercy. We don't believe in a point of no return. And meanwhile, God is begging us, look, I know what you did last night, but what I would love is for you to recognize that if I want to go back to any other door, it's a door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't want you to avoid Him. He wants you to come running towards Him. Believe in my mercy, He says. Believe in my forgiveness. I created you to be merciful towards you. It's a two-way street, my brothers and my sisters. If your creation and its purpose was to serve and worship Him, Him as your Lord is to be merciful towards you. Don't ever believe that any sin that you do within the umbrella of Tawheed is bigger than Allah's mercy. Absolutely not. He has defended you behind your back when no one else did. He defends you today. That very first discussion, you and I weren't even there. We weren't even created. When he talks about the idea that I want to create this insan, make him my khalifa on this earth. Who was the first group that had a problem with it? The angels. I said, come on, man. Don't make this insan. He's going to shed blood. He's going to cause corruption. You want someone to do your hamd and your praise? We'll do it. We'll do it. We're right here. 24 hours, we will do tawaf of your arsh and say, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Meaning what? Before you and I were even born, the angels were what? We're talking smack about us. Who was there to defend us? Our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know about this insan what you don't know. Nabi Musa is leading the Bani Israel out from the clutches of Fir'aun. They reach an area of complete desert land. These people are thirsty. They beg to Nabi Musa, let's pray for rain. Let's come together as a congregation and pray for rain. The story narrates that every time they begin to pray for rain, the clouds begin to form and then they disappear again. This happens several times. And the drought becomes more intense. Now Nabi Musa says to Allah, Allah, look, I'm asking you for rain. These people are dying of thirst right now. Wahi comes down, the answer comes to Musa. Musa, inside your group is a man who for 40 years has disrespected my command in my kingdom, has sinned against me for 40 years. Ask him to beg for my forgiveness. I'll grant you rain. Very simple. Then Musa addresses the entire tribe and says, there is somebody in this tribe amongst all of you who has committed crime after crime, sin after sin for 40 years. Until you come forward, ask Allah for forgiveness, we will not enjoy the pleasure of that rain. Can you imagine how difficult that must be? The man who is responsible for those 40 years begins to talk to Allah inside the heart of his heart. And says to Allah, Allah, you know it's me, I know it's me. I've wronged you. I've disrespected you. I've sinned against you. I know that if I don't speak up, these people won't bless or be blessed with rain. I beg you for my forgiveness. I ask you inside the heart of my heart, whispering to Allah to please erase. I'm sorry, it won't happen again. This man finishes his dua, the clouds begin to form and the rain comes gushing down. Nobody has stepped forward yet. Nabi Musa is very, very confused. After the rain happens, he goes to Allah, Allah, nobody came forward. What happened? He says to Musa, that Musa, the man who's responsible, spoke to me inside of his heart. I forgave him, I blessed you with rain. And then Nabi Musa asked Allah a question. Then Nabi Musa asked him a question and said, what? Allah, can you show me who that person is? He says, Musa, for 40 years he was sitting against me. I didn't expose him to you. Now that he's actually come back to me and cleansed his heart, you want me to expose him to you now? Look at the extent Allah does to protect our dignity. And we still want to believe that he's a horrible boogeyman, monster of a God? No, he deserves our worship. He deserves in this day and age, when everybody wishes for us to be pulled off the path, shave your beard, take off your hijab, change your name, don't travel for tabligh, there's going to be this, you're going to end up in Guantanamo, you'll do, all these things will happen. Allah says, no, look, trust my plan, trust me, follow my path, believe me, get through this problem, at the end, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the mu'min will be successful.
اللهم وهذا مقام عبد ضليل اعترف لك بالتوحيد وأقر على نفسه بالتقصير في أداء حقك وشهد لك بسبوق نعمتك عليه وجميل عادتك عنده وإحسانك إليه فهب لي يا إلهي وسيدي من فضلك ما أريده إلى رحمتك وأتخذه سلما أعرج فيه إلى مرضاتك وآمن به من سخطك بعزتك وطولك